dad. I gave one to Sam, and I kept one. And a while back, I lost it. And I found it, but in the meantime, I bought another one. And Jen, it was just like it, but it just wasn't the same. And I kept telling God, Lord, I want that bottle of oil. And I bought the other one. And I feel that there's people today, you may just still even be sitting in your chair. There's always time for you to come up. But you're telling God, Lord, I just wish that things were like they used to be.
The Lord is troubling the waters this morning. Don't sit there if you need to be up here. God wants to bless somebody.
God brought that back to my memory this morning. And he said, Kelly, I want you to encourage the people to believe God for better than what they had.
Kelly, we're going to believe with them for better than they had. I'm going to believe for you and your family better than you had. For every one of you. We're going to believe for one another, amen? If you're in the audience, you help us believe for these people that's come up here this morning.
Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now. God, I speak a peace, God, that passes all understanding right now. Lord, I thank you that it is coming. Lord, where there's been distress, Lord, where there's been trauma, God, where there's been some heartache, God, where the loneliness has wanted to set in, where the depression has wanted to come, God, where just a break in the soul. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that as you've put out there today, no storm lasts forever. And God, no grief, no mourning. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for a hedge of protection. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. I speak it. Lord, I speak favor right now on your people. God, I speak a sound mind in the name of Jesus. I speak gladness right now. Lord, in every place that's sad, in every place that's depressed, in every place where we're saying, God, but look at what I had. And Lord, look at now what I don't have. I see somebody, even this morning, you were looking and you were saying, God, I used to have this and now I don't feel like I have anything. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. God, Lord, give us a vision where we're not looking behind us, but God, that we're looking to you right now in Jesus' name, because God, you are the author, you are the finisher of our faith. Lord, you're the God that gives, the God that takes away, and Lord, you don't take anything away from us that you don't intend to give us better in Jesus' name. And I speak to the better. I speak to your will, God, right now, and I speak it into the lives of your kids right now in Jesus' name. I speak to depression and bondage right now in this place, and I tell it to go right now in the name of Jesus. I lose peace. I lose clarity. I lose the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Speak this morning and minister to you on something that is so very important, and it's God's will. God's will. And I want to challenge you to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And you can't do something that you don't know about. Get into his word, because when you get into the word will get into you. When you have storms and trials and tribulations, and you will have those, that part of the word that you have put inside of you, because it's living and because it's active, it goes to the part that there's trouble. It goes to the part where there's chaos. It goes to the part where there's brokenness. And so I want to minister to you this morning on the will of God. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 15 through 17. I encourage you to bring your Bible. I do want to say that there are times where watching Facebook Live is the only thing that you can do, but I challenge you that are watching, if you are physically able, I challenge you to go in person. It is not the same. The Word of God says, now God has placed each member in the body as He sees fit. And that's talking about the church. And you have a place where you're supposed to be. And you have a ministry, a part where you're supposed to be, and you're supposed to be planted. And I urge you to do just that. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 15 through 17. I'm talking to you this morning about God's will. God's will. If I said, who of you would like to be right in the very center of God's will? You'd all raise your hands. That's just humanity. There are certain things that I'm not going to say and do because it's going to, I don't believe in dictating and manipulating people's feelings. Amen. I got no doubt that I could play the right song and get everybody saved every Sunday. But unless you are in heaven, would that do any good here? No. What we do, we need to do it heartfelt, wholeheartedly. Your walk with Christ has got to be personal. It's got to be intimate, and it's got to be worked out. The Word of God says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And there's parts where you're working it out, and there's times where it is a job. It is a hard thing to work out your salvation because it is not easy. And so Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God, and this is Adam and Eve. I think even people that aren't believers know parts of the Bible because they are integrated into society to a degree. And so here is Adam, and Eve has not been produced by his rib yet. So it's Adam and it's God. And God is talking to him, and he says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man. He did not advise him. He did not make a recommendation, but he gave him a commandment. This commandment that he gave him is also a boundary line. And I'm going to tell you that when you are seeking God's will, one of the things that you will see God do, you see it all throughout the Bible, and you can see it in your life if you've been obedient, but one of the things that God will do is He will give you, number one, He will give you instruction, but number two, He will also give you boundaries. He will give you boundaries. He will say, you can do this, but you can't do that. You can go here, but you can't go there. You can do this, but not that. There's boundaries. And so in our society, why we've gotten so off is because boundaries have gone out the window, and it's just a free-for-all. Do you see it? I mean, that's what it is. I'm not going to preach doom and gloom, but I will preach truth and reality. And that's what you're going to get here. I like truth, and I like reality. It's the only thing that really sets you free is truth, God's truth. And it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Here's what you're free to do. Here's your boundary. You can eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat it, you will surely die. There is his boundary. There is instruction. You are free to do all of this, Adam, but this one thing, you cannot do it because it will cause you harm. Now, what I found interesting that I didn't realize until I read it again multiple times, when I am praying and meditating on what I am going to preach, I read over these verses multiple times, and things come to me that never came to me before. And I just found it interesting that this commandment came from God before Eve was ever even there. God gave a specific commandment to Adam. He gave him instruction. He gave him his boundaries. He said, you are free to do everything except for this one thing. Heed to the boundaries that God gives you. It will keep you in his will. I'm going to say it again. Heed to the boundaries that God has given you. Why? Because it will keep you in his will. Amen. So many people are saying, God, what is your will? God, I want to be in your will. The will of God, we like to complicate things behind the pulpit. And we should not do that because it's extremely simple. God will give you instruction. He will give you boundaries. And if you stay in those and you do what he says, you will be in God's will. When you step out of that and you do what he told you not to do, then you're out of his will. That is, the 1 + 1 is going to always be 2. Amen. And we see that here in his word. So, go with me to Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. We're looking this morning about God's will. How do we stay in his will? How do we get in his will? How do we know what his will is? The first point that I've just made is heed to the boundaries that God gives you. They will keep you in his will. If you really want to be in God's will, you will heed or be very careful to keep the boundary that he set for you. The boundary is for your own good. Your own safety, your own health, your own wealth, all of it. It's for you. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing new under the sun. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know how many accounts in the Bible that it says, now the word of the Lord came to this person, and it came to Jonah, and it came to Noah, and it came to Moses, it came to Mary, it came... See, the word of God will come to you. You will hear or feel an impression that he gives you. But make no mistake, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. When he tells you to do something, he is telling you his will for you. You need to heed to it. If you're in a place where you say, I am having trouble hearing from God, you need to slow down. You need to make time to hear from him because he will speak with you. He will direct you. He will guide you. That is what he does. There will be a moment of clarity where you know his will for your life. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the word of the Lord will come to you. If you don't know which way to go, then you stay there till you hear your marching orders. There are times where it's going to take a little longer than what you'd like. Stay there. Stay in that place. It's when we get impatient that we get out of his will. It's where we get stressed when we get out of his will. It's where we get antsy when we get out of his will. The safest place for the believer is right in the center of his will. He's going to give you boundaries. Heed to them. He loves you. If he didn't love you, he would give you no boundaries. He'd say, just do what you want to do. So it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, and it said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So here is what God wants Jonah to do. He tells him, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach against it. They are a wicked people, but this is what I have for you. You know, God cares about wicked people. I got news for you. God cares about wicked people because he sent people all through the Bible to speak a word in season to help save them. God loves wicked people because at the end of the day, there's a little wickedness, I believe, in everybody. We're going to keep this where we live, okay? Where we live is reality. It won't do you any good if I get up here and sugarcoat everything and then you're like, oh, life's great. I need to make no changes. No. I'm going to have to give an account for my pastorship, and what I would like to produce is real believers. Let's have that. So, it's funny to me, God says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And in by verse 3 of this book, he runs from God. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed to Tarshish. When God tells you his will, he's going to give you instruction. His will, his word is going to come to you and you're going to choose whether or not you're going to do his will. To flow with the will of God for your life. You're going to flow with it or you're going to flow against it. And when you flow against it, you're going to have everything come against you. And I got news for you. When you flow with it, there's going to be times where things are going to come against you. The difference is when you're in his will, the weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. That is the difference. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 19. We just saw here where God gives Jonah some instruction. Jonah didn't like the instruction. He wanted to run away from God. We're either going to take his instruction or we'll dismiss it. But when we dismiss it, don't wonder why things aren't going good.
That's right.
Amen? Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. We're speaking this morning about God's will. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. Here's what God's saying. If you're willing to do my will, if you're obedient, my question to you this morning is, are you willing to do his will? Are you willing? So many people are lying, and the worst problem is that they're lying to their self because they're saying, God, I want to do your will. But then the second God tells you what his will is and it don't jive and jive with what you want, you really don't want to do his will. What you want is you want God to say what you want, and then you can go with that because it's easy. And salvation is not easy. You're going to have to work at it. And accepting God's will for your life isn't easy to take because it will make you change. It will make you take a look at where you're wrong. And so it says, if you are willing and obedient, this morning I've come to ask you, are you willing to do his will? Are you willing to do his will? Verse 20. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Are you willing? Are you willing to do his will? You know, when I think about sin, sin is just really willful disobedience with what God has for you. Sin is really, when it's dumbed down, it's just willful disobedience, Miss Mary. Willful disobedience. When we were growing up, my cousin Brett lived with us for a while. We had an electric fence because we had some cows or whatever. Brett got a hold of the electric fence. It shocked the heck out of him. Dad was looking out the window. He said, Brett, don't touch that fence again. Brett continued to touch the fence. I'm convinced that he did that because Uncle Ange told him not to. How many times does life got to prick you before you'll just say, okay, God. God, I want to do your will. I don't care what it is. God, give me a heart that wants what you want for me. God, I want what you have for me. Lord, if it makes me change everything about my life, God, I still want it. God, I want to be in your will. God, if your will tells me I'm wrong, God, I'm for that. But Lord, put me in your will. Tell me what you don't want me to do. Tell me what's not acceptable for me. Tell me what's going to harm me. Do you really want his will for your life? Amen? So we see, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat from the good of the land. What does that mean? If you're willing and obedient, God's hand of blessing is going to be on your life. It doesn't matter who's with you and who's not with you. The hand of God will be with you when you're obedient. When you stay in the boundaries that he's given you. Amen? Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 12. Here's the problem a lot with the way that society sees God's will now. We are very into our feelings, and our feelings get us in lots of trouble. Your feelings will get you out of where you're supposed to be and into where you're not supposed to be in many situations. If you are someone that is saying, I'm going to follow my heart, that's a dumb thing to say. Can I keep it real today? Please don't follow your heart, because your heart is dumb. I got news for you. My heart is also dumb. Okay? I'm not just picking on you. What's good for the pastor is good for the congregation. What's good for the congregation is good for the pastor. I've got a dumb heart too. My heart would love to lead me into all sorts of crap. We'll keep it honest today. But when I gave my heart to God, I also gave him the right to come in and correct it. That is a must. Don't follow your heart, because your heart is deceitful, and above all, who can know it? We don't even know our heart on our best day. But God does. You want to be in God's will? Give him your heart and leave it with him. You want to be in his will? Give him your heart and leave it with him. He will direct it. He will correct it. He will guide it. He will take the best care of it. A lot of our brokenness was caused by things that we didn't have to go through, but we chose it. Stay in his will. Stay in his will. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. I want to talk to us about our emotions this morning as well. Because too many times believers are zigging when we should be zagging, and then the devil gets us in a place where we don't even recognize our own life, because we have gotten off in left field where we should not be, out of his will. Verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man. Now, notice that the word of God here says seems. It may seem like it, but a lot of things that seems like something is not really that something. There is a way that seems right to a man or woman, but in the end, it is death. There are ways and directions that we think, or that may seem like we should go down that hill or path, but in the end, if it is not God's will, it will lead to destruction in your life. You cannot go off of what seems right to you. You've got to go off of exactness. There's not a lot of margin moaning for us to get this area of our life wrong. We can't go off of what just seems like whatever. We got to go off of what God has told us. Amen. How many of you can go with me as far as this is concerned? There have been things that seemed right to you and you did them only to find out they weren't good for you and they weren't right for you. Right. Amen. Amen. What am I trying to say? That in the human heart, there are times where things will seem correct to you, but you cannot afford to go off what seems like something. You got to know that you know that you know. And the only way you can do that is to be in his will. To hear his will. To obey his will. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is death. We have to go off of God's will, not what seems right, not what feels good, not what's comfortable. God will often lead us to places of discomfort. Why? Because you know what? There's things that you're going to go through. You don't know why you're going through them, but when you get through them and you can look back, you will know why. You will know why, and you will be thankful because they will produce something inside of you that you couldn't have gotten any other way. Believers are not made on the mountaintops. Believers are made in the valley when everything went wrong and you stayed with God and you was faithful to God and He showed you how faithful He was to you. God will not let you down. If there's anything that I could ever say from the pulpit with exact 100% faith, He will not let you down. He will not. He cannot. But you've got to stay in His will. You got to stay in His will. The will of God is important for your life. It's important for your life. We are not God. Many times our way is the furthest thing from God's will. There's a lot of things I'd like to do, but they're not in God's will for my life, so I'm not going to do them. Moni, they're going to stay in that little section of my life where I'd like to do this, but it's not in God's will. So guess what, Kelly? We're not going to do it. We're going to stay right here in God's will. Can you tell yourself no? I have trouble saying no to everybody because I want to make everybody happy. That is an idol for most pastors. They want everybody to be happy. Well, you know what I'm learning? Very seldom, or if ever, will that ever happen. Amen. Praise God. Focus on making God happy, and you're going to be happy. Go with me back to Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look now at verses 4 through 12. So we see Jonah. God informs him that He wants him to go somewhere he don't want to go. He wants him to preach. He don't want to do that. I've been there. How many of you, God's told you something to do and you're really not interested in that? You'd want to do something else. I get you. I get it. I don't want to do everything God tells me to do either. But you know what I've learned, Jim? I know I'm going to be one miserable person if I go against His will. So just that healthy fear of God keeps me a lot of times in what He has for me. Amen? I love you, Jim. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Okay? So here we have the direct disobedience that Jonah does. And immediately, this was not a fluke accident. You know, I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in, oh, that just happened. No, I don't believe that. No. We see here, God sent this storm. He sent it. God allowed it. God sent it. He orchestrated it. And here it is. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All of the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and he fell into a deep sleep. Now, I want to minister right here in this moment to two different types of people. You're either Jonah or you're the other sailors. Here's where the other sailors were. There was a storm that they were having to endure because of the actions of someone else. Someone else got out of God's will, and here they have a storm that they're having to deal with. I want to ask you today, how many of your storms are through no fault of your own? Think about it. Think about it. Let that rest on you. There's too many believers. You are going through some storms because you got on a boat with somebody that was out of God's will. Amen. Amen. Let's keep reading. Sometimes we find ourselves in a storm because the people closest to us, they've gotten out of the will of God for their life. Here's what I've seen a lot of people do. A lot of people will do exactly what Jonah just did. They'll get out of the will of God for their life. There will be a storm. What did Jonah do? Well, see, all the other sailors, they just started crying out to whatever God that they served. But here's Jonah, and what does he do? He goes down, and he just takes a little nap. Amen. If you're not careful, you will be in the trenches of a storm while the person that got out of God's will, they're just sleeping below deck, and they don't have a care in the world, and you're suffering. Hear me. How dare him get up under that boat, CC, and fall asleep after all that he caused? It was all because he got on that boat and he put those other people in that position. The storm did not come for any other reason but other than Jonah's gotten out of God's will. And all these other people are suffering. Where are you at today in this account? Where are you? Are you suffering because you got out of his will? Or are you suffering because you're up in that boat with somebody that got out of his will? And only you can figure that out. You and God are going to have to work that out. Are you Jonah or are you one of the sailors? You're going to find yourself at times in life affected by other people's disobedience. Amen. It's going to affect you. And I'm going to show you in His Word today how to get it to affect you less. Amen. Let's keep on. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe He will take notice of us and we will not perish." And then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Here is the problem with believers. We have been so affected by just social media, and I'm growing to hate it more and more. We are so washed out and washed up with this, I'm going to keep this real honest, crap, that we're just horrified to say anything that won't flow good with the next person behind us or in front of us or at the table or at the restaurant or at the whatever. And we're calling wrong right and right wrong. And we're just thinking that God's going to just go along with it. God is never going to go along with it. Because God ain't forgot what's right and wrong. We have. And we've accepted it. I encourage you to do in your life what we see in the Word of God. They begin to ask Him some questions. We're getting involved with people too many times where we don't know diddly about them. I was watching this show. Now, if you're religious, you're not going to like this. But I was watching Married at First Sight. I don't know why they think that's a great idea, but it's stupid. Anyways, none of them are together. Big shocker. Where was I going with that? Got no idea. Out of God's will. Thank you. I was watching this show. And they come up to the altar, and they're like, they were supposedly matched. And they decide whether or not they're going to marry this person. And I have a lot of respect for one of them, because she took one look at that dude, and she's like, no, nope. I ain't going to do this. She just walked out. Praise God. Praise God. But I told Frank, I said, oh my gosh. I would be like, what is your credit report? Do you love God? Are you healthy? What does your medical record say about you? That would kill me, because I would just have to ask some questions that they're not allowed to ask. But you need to ask some more questions about who you really get hooked up with, okay? And I'm not just talking about in a romantical way. I'm talking about in any type of relationship that you got. God tells us not to be unevenly yoked with non-believers. That doesn't say be mean to them. Doesn't say don't love them. Doesn't say don't witness to them. But there's a difference between that and being yoked. Okay? There's a difference. Your best friend, if you're a believer, should not be the worst heathen on the block. I just lost all my brownie points right there. I know. I just went to meddling. I'm going to keep meddling. Here we go. So they asked him some questions, and he answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? What have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? If you are in a storm and you are in a trial and you are looking and evaluating your life, and it's because you're too close to somebody that's out of the will of God's life, you need to be asking, what did you do? And what do we need to do with you? They asked him, what should we do to make this storm calm down? Verse 12, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. Thank God for the next part of this verse. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Here is where he owns his life. There is not, oh, my mama did this to me and I had a hard childhood, and oh, no, I did it. I did it. And if you want this storm to calm down, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to take me and throw me overboard, because, see, you're going through this because of what I did.
Hallelujah.
Where are you today? Who are you in this account? You got to figure it out. You got to ask God. You got to seek God. Are you going through something because you're just a bleeding heart, and you're, you know, we have some dumb loyalties sometimes. We have some wrong loyalties sometimes. Oh, well, that's my sister, and blah, blah, blah. I don't care if it's your mama. Your mama's out of God's will for your life. You need to say, Mama, you out of God's will for your life, and you're affecting me. Quit. Now, my mom is precious, okay? I can use that example because that is a far-fetched thing. But you know what? There's some of us, we're going to have to work some things out, and we're going to have to understand some of you is going through some things because of exactly what I'm preaching here today. I remember when I was the first year of my pastorhood, there was a couple that went to our church. I love them. I love them to this day. And I lost a lot of sleep over them, a lot, because I wanted something for them more than they wanted it for themselves. And that was where I went wrong as a pastor. I stood by these folks. God gave them their children back when there was supposed to be no way they would ever get their kids back from this state. I said, God is telling me to tell you that if you'll serve Him, if you'll give your life to Him, if you'll surrender, He will say yes to you in places that are very important to you that man naturally has said no. What did God do? He was faithful. He gave them their children back. What did they do? They turned back and didn't follow through with what they were supposed to do. One night, I was up in my two-story house, Brother Larry, and I woke up crying, and I said, God, I want you to move in these people's life. And He said, Kelly, you are more worried about their life than they are, and that is why you're all suffering.
Yeah, there you go.
Hallelujah. You love people, you love them to the cross. Don't be an enabler. I'm going to say it again. It's okay to love people. Do not get yourself in between them and the correction of God. If God is trying to correct somebody, you need to get your butt out of God's way and let God have at them. Why? Because God, you don't love them more than God does. You don't know them more than God does. You don't care about them more than God does. You don't know the ins and outs more than God does. Don't be an enabler. You know what? If you'll be somebody that loves truth, what you're going to get is you're going to get people like Jonah that says, you know what? Y'all are going through this because of what I did. I'm going to get it right, and getting it right is going to start with, y'all got to throw me out the boat. Praise God. He wanted him to. Why? Because there was a part of him that was so saved that he knew that it wasn't going to calm down until God had him alone. You know how many people with grown children cannot grasp this, and they go to home at night and they're miserable and they cry, can't put their grown kid at the altar of Christ and who He is? You don't love your grown kid more than God does. Don't be an enabler. That was that one. There's times where you're going to have to throw some things out of the boat to get the sea to calm down for you. There's times where I'm talking to Coco and Carson, and one of them will say, well, you don't know what he's doing over there. I don't care what he's doing over there. I'm addressing you. Can you own your life? Who are you today? And where are you at today? There's too much. The world calls it brain rot. It's where we are so infiltrated in all this junk that is the world today. Social media, all this crap, keeping up with the Joneses, comparing ourselves when we're never going to measure up. It's just crap, junk, filth. And we're so concerned about it that it dictates everything about us. And many times it dictates whether we're flowing in the will of God or not. Is there something you need to throw out of the boat today? Get it out of there. Why? So the sea can get calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Verse 13. Here is humanity. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Jonah said, this is my fault. you're going to have to throw me out of the boat. Verse 13, what do? They still are trying to go against God for the sake of Jonah. Please, for the love of God, hear me today. Don't row against the Holy Spirit in someone else's life. Don't row against it in your own life. When I was a kid, there was Brother Autry, one of the most anointed people I've ever met. He used to tell my dad, Angelo, what you see God doing in the lives of people, you dictate how you see and what God's doing in their life. If God's blessing them, you bless them. If God's correcting them, you keep away from them. You want to imitate Christ? Get his mindset. Get his mindset. How many have ever been, you was raising your kids? We're not going to take communion, by the way, because this is very important. Well, we might take it. How many have ever been raising your kids, maybe when they's little or something, and you was, now you're not going to do this, blah, 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 blah. And somebody else interfered with you correcting your child, and it got on your nerves. Okay. Don't do that to God. You know how many times I have asked the Lord, God, are you trying to correct so-and-so? Who am I supposed to be in their life right now? Because I don't want to go against what you're trying to do in their life, because I could cost them more time of correction. Don't love somebody so much that you cost them more time of correction. Allow people to be shaped by God. You stay in God's will for your life, and you be who you're supposed to be. Don't get in God's way. Don't be an enabler. Stay in his will. You say, well, Pastor Kelly, I have gotten so far out there that there's a lot of days I don't know if I'm in his will. Let me explain something to you. Your life needs to parallel with the Word of God. It cannot do that until you get it inside of you and you know it. And you know it. And you've planted it. And you've put it in there. Your life should parallel to his word. Because his word can stand alone. When everything else falls, the word of God will still remain true. It will not fail. When everything fails you, his word will not fail you. I'm going to say this in an Arkansan way, that if you're religious and you can't handle it, you're going to have to get over it. Get your butt in the will of God for your life. And if you're there, stay there. If you're going through something right now, have a conversation with God. God, am I going through this because of I'm so closely connected to this over here that it's coming through in my life. I have been through storms that was no fault of my own. And I have had to do some very hard things. I've had to cut people off at times, Moni. That's the painfulest thing a pastor can do. A daily prayer. God, don't let me get up in your way. God, don't let me get up in your way. I'm going to skip down to verse 17. They threw him overboard. Guess what happened when that happened? Instantly, the sea calmed. It was an instant thing. It was an instant thing. Verse 17, here's the faithful God that we serve. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah got some things corrected in his life, and he became willing to do the will of God that God had for him. And then God commanded the fish to spit him up on dry land. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is the last place for me this morning. How do I know that I'm in His will, Pastor Kelly? How do I know that I'm in God's will? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is something that you need to set your heart and commit your whole life to get up under and live this verse right here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The will of God for your life will not conform to the social norm. You serve a supernatural God. He wants to do some supernatural things in your life, and you need to understand that that's going to go against the pattern of this world that we live in right now. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. See, when your mind and your heart and your life parallel to the Word of God, then and only then can you be able to test what is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know God's will? Put your life and make it do the Word. Make it do the Word. How many of you are okay if we do communion? I think we need to. I'm going to go about 3 minutes over. I want you to, in your place right now, the Word of God says that you need to examine your life. Do communion, partake in communion in a proper way. What does that mean? Get the stuff out. If there's some unconfessed sin in your life, I want you to begin to tell God. Get those things straightened out in your life. Seek Him for a moment. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. Make sure that you're ready to take communion. Brother Frank, Brother Sam, Brother Dwayne. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to multitask today. All of y'all want you to take the bread and the cup at the same time. Everybody get your bread. Everybody get your cup. This woman up here is going to get us going. You can do it. Now we are getting into a holy moment. Treat it as such. Reverence. Reverence is very important for your life.